Come on, how many of you are glad for that today? Paid in full. Hey, let's do this. Let's welcome our campuses today. Would you help me do that, North Campus? We are glad that you are at whatever campus you're at today. My name's Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and it is an exciting day for Love and Truth. Maiden New Sunday. We've got people being baptized at all of our campuses. Things are happening, and we are excited that you are there today on this day celebrating with us. Hey, listen, let me just share with you. Last weekend was an awesome weekend. Good Friday service was just powerful, and then Saturday and Sunday we had services at different campuses. We had over 4,200 people at Love and Truth Church last weekend, as well as, and I'm sure your pastor may have already told you, but I got to celebrate it again, over $100,000 has been raised for missions by your giving. So come on, give yourself a hand at your campus today. You helped us do that. Thank you for that. Hey, we're continuing with Paid in Full. In fact, today we are going to complete the book of John. Now, this is the longest series I have ever done in my ministry, all right? I have been in this series now, I didn't count the exact weeks, we're about 26th or 27th week that we've just been working our way through the book of John. The last 4 weeks, we kind of changed it up to call it Paid in Full because we're focusing on what Jesus did. And so last week we talked about the resurrection. The week before that we talked about the cross. The week before that we talked about what Jesus gives into our heart. And today, I kind of want to skip ahead a little bit into the 21st chapter. So if you have your Bible, go to John chapter 21, and I want to read beginning in the 15th verse. If you don't have it, just look on the screen. It will come up as I read it. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. How many of you have ever been asked a question more than once you got tired of answering? How many of you have children? Right? Mama, 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 daddy, 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 right? And they'll ask you the same. I Peter's in this moment here. And what's interesting about this is that we understand, remember that before the crucifixion, Jesus had told Peter, he said, hey, Pete, you're going to deny me how many times? Three times. You're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, oh, Lord, no. He said, I'll die for you. Well, how many of you know what happened? He denied, just like we would. Three times he denies. And so... The resurrection happens, and last week we looked at that, how Mary Magdalene came and she saw the empty tomb. She goes back and tells Peter and John, and they run to the tomb. It's empty, but at that point they haven't seen Jesus, and so they're kind of dealing with this struggle of is he really alive? We're not sure he's alive. And so one of the Gospels, Peter says it this way. He just said, I go fishing. And some of the other disciples said, well, we're going with you. And so Peter goes out and he's fishing. And before this part of the story that I didn't read to you, the Bible says that they'd fished all night and they hadn't caught anything. Kind of reminds you of the beginning of Peter's walk with the Lord. And there's this guy shows up on the seashore and he hollers out. He says, hey, you got any fish? And they said, no, we haven't caught anything. And Jesus said to him, and he said, hey, well, throw your nets on the other side, right? And it's the same thing he had told Peter 3.5 years before. Throw your nets on the other side. And the word of the Lord says that when they did, they caught this great amount of fish. And Peter says, it's the Lord. He threw off his robe and jumped in the Sea of Galilee and swam to Jesus. And so here he is. And Jesus in this moment begins this dialogue with him. And it's repetitious. It's just on and on and on, the same thing over and over again. And Jesus asks him, and he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, I've done a lot of research about this, and some commentators says that he's saying, well, do you love me more than these other disciples and all that? But I don't really think that's what he's asking him. I believe, and I think I've got enough to back me up on this, plus I have the microphone, is that he is saying to him, Peter, do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than your old lifestyle? Do you love me more than what you are used to and what you are comfortable with? Are you willing to move in to something that is greater in this moment? See, Peter is at this moment, he has reverted back to his old life. How many of you know it's really easy to go back to your old life? Right? In fact, let me ask it this way. How many of you have ever, maybe you don't want to confess this at church, but just work with me. How many of you have ever heard the voice of your old life? Ever heard that? It's like it calls you, doesn't it? I mean, your old lifestyle has a voice, and it calls you, and it tries to beckon you back. And so Peter has failed. I mean, he has totally blown it in every way possible. And so he just says, hey, man, I'm out. I'm going back to what I'm used to. I'm going back to my old life and my old lifestyle. But here's the deal about that old life, is that failure in our life, and this is what happens to Peter, failure produces relapse. Uh-oh. Come on, let's not look real religious for a moment. How many of you know that failure will put you in relapse? You'll find yourself doing stuff that you swore you would never do again. Don't act guilty. Anybody ever told God, I'm never going to do that again? Until the next time that you did it again, right? Why? Because failure produces real. I fail over here, and so what I do is go, if I fail there, I might as well just really fail. So I get back in that old lifestyle and living there. The second thing about failure is failure produces guilt. Is that not true? I mean, how many of you have noticed that when you fail, all of that condemnation comes on you? All of that guilt settles down on you. And you start thinking, I can't believe that I did that. I can't believe that I did those things. I can't believe that I've gone back to that. And that's what Peter's dealing with. Peter's carrying all that guilt because he denied Jesus 3 times. And he knows that. And he sees Jesus. And now Jesus is with him. But he's carrying this guilt that's all over him. And lastly, his failure produces doubt. See, he's doubting his calling. He's doubting his future. He's doubting that God is ever going to be able to. I mean, this doubt has entered in, and he just doesn't know if he's ever going to be able to do what God wants him to do. And you know what? That's where the enemy wants to put you. The devil wants you to stay in that place of doubt. He wants to keep you in that place where you're back in that old lifestyle and that failure is holding you back, instead of understanding that the word of the Lord says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, whoever lives to make intercession for you. So in that moment when you come and you fail, and we're all going to fail, the only people that aren't failing are 6 feet under. Right? I mean, they've gone on to heaven or wherever. They're not failing. But you and I find ourselves in those places of failure. Not only do we go back to our old life, we go back to our old ways of living. See, Peter knew how to fish, and he just says, I'm going fishing. And being the leader that Peter was, some of the other guys said, well, we're going to follow you. If you're going back, we're going back, right? And what I've learned is this, is that in all of our lives, it's easier to return to the past than it is to move forward into your future. It's easier for you to go back to that failure, to go back to that old lifestyle, than it is to say, wait a minute, I know I failed here, but I refuse to let failure dictate my future. Let me say this to you. Failure is an event, not a person. There should have been some really good amens. Failure is not who you are. Failure is what you did. But failure does not define you unless you let it. But when we go back to those old ways, then what we find ourselves doing is we go back to those old habits. You know what I found out about our lives? Have you ever been talking to somebody and they just go, I just don't know how I got here? Ever heard that? I just don't know how I got in this mess. I just don't know how I got to this place. I do. I've heard that so many times. But I'm going to answer it for you today. I know how you got there. You ready? Here's how you got there. You made a decision. You did something. Became a habit. And it became a lifestyle. That's how you got there. See, our life today is basically the sum total of our habits. Good, bad, whatever. That's our life. And so we all deal with it. But Peter is the guy. Have you noticed that when Peter gets under stress, he does things? All right, let's talk about it because you're being way too religious. When Peter gets under stress, he tries to kill people. Y'all don't know that's in the Bible? Peter grabs a guy's sword and tries to cut his head off. Now, he is one of the chosen apostles. Can you imagine me having a church staff member who pulls a 45 on somebody? Everybody in church, you got to get rid of him. You got to get him out of here. And yet Jesus hangs on to him. Can I tell you more? You know, Peter wasn't completely sanctified yet. You know, Peter still remembered those cuss words. And I keep telling you guys, quit spelling to me the cuss word. You won't say it, but you'll spell it to me. And then I say it. See, we all remember the word. Peter just let him fly. Man, he just... He's the guy that has messed it up royally. And yet, he's the one that Jesus says, you're the one that I choose to open the church age. You're my guy. Now, that's interesting to me. Now, what's happening here is Peter has been used to living in legalism, and Jesus is getting ready to teach him a new way of living. And this new way of living is all about love. Now, let me say this to you. The Old Testament, by and large, is a book of legalism. It is a book of rules and regulations. It is a book of laws, and do this and don't do that. And if you wear that, then we're going to do this to you, and on and on and on. And yet, Jesus said, I have come, and don't take it up with me, take it up with Jesus and the Apostle Paul. They both said that he came to abolish the Old Testament. Jesus said it this way at the Last Supper. He said, I'm going to give you a new covenant in my blood. And he said, it's different. He said, in fact, that old covenant is being done away with. And the Apostle Paul writing said, if the old covenant had been good enough, there was no reason for Jesus to come and institute a new covenant, but that old covenant has passed away. So when you come to me and try to lay your legalism on me, I'm going to look at you and say, no, because I have a new covenant in Christ Jesus, and this covenant is all wrapped up in love. Now, I read to you there where Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? And three times back, Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Now, here's the deal. English is a very imprecise language, and so go with me for a minute as I kind of break this down. Because we love everything from pizza to our spouse. Hopefully not equally. I mean, how many times, I just love this, and how many times in a day do we use the term love? We love everything from Tic Tacs, to our child. And that's our word. We just throw it out. But Greek is a little bit more precise. And so I want to break this down. I'm not trying to go deep, but you got to get this for this setting. When Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Jesus is using a word that is called agape. Agape means that this love is from God, that it is selfless, that it is sacrificial, and that it's an unconditional love. So what Jesus is saying to Peter is, hey, Simon Peter, do you unconditionally love me? Peter answers back, and he doesn't say, oh, yes, Lord, I love you with that kind of love. Peter answers back and says, Lord, I love you with what the word is there is filio. It's where we get the name Philadelphia, which we refer to as the city of brotherly love. The word filio means that feeling of warmth and affection that we have toward a friend or a loved one. So this is the dialogue that's taking place. In verse 15, Jesus says, do you love me with a sacrificial love? And Peter says back, Lord, you know you, my bud. You know we hang together. You know that you're part of my posse. You know that I have this brotherly affection for you. So Jesus, I don't know how quick it happened. I don't know if it was a succession of boom, 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 or if it was spread out. But a little bit later, the very next verse says, Jesus comes back and says, hey, Pete, do you sacrificially, unconditionally love me? Watch what Peter answers. Lord, you know you're my brother. You know I love you like a brother. You know I care for you. And see, what Peter is missing and what we all miss is that Jesus knows that Peter can't get there. What Jesus is trying to do is to get Peter to say, Lord, help me to get there. Now, what's interesting to me is in the next verse, what happens? In verse 17, the word there, if you look it up in the translation, Jesus changes his word. Two times he says, unconditionally, sacrificially, do you love me? Peter says, you're my brother. I love you that way. So the third time that Jesus asks this question, Jesus comes down to Peter's level and says, Peter, do you love me like a brother? And Peter goes, Jesus, you know I love you like a brother. Now here's the deal, is that Jesus is always trying to call us to a higher place. He is always pushing you to another place. But what is so wonderful about who he is that he is willing to come down to where you are to take you to where he wants you to go. Because what we're going to find out, if you spend a time studying history, you are going to find out that the Apostle Peter comes to that place in his life where he sacrificially gives his life on a cross and dies because he is a follower of Jesus. In other words, he got there, but he didn't start there. You and I today, we may not, I don't know about you. Maybe I'll just talk about me. There are those moments where Jesus says, would you lay your life down? I go, oh yeah, Lord, I'd lay my life down. But Lord, could we have one of those Isaac and Abraham moments? I need to remind you of that story. We take Isaac, we lay him out, we lift the knife, and then God gives us a ram and we don't kill Isaac. So, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, yes. I mean, it's easy in a church service to say, I'll give my all. Lord, I'll do, come on, you've prayed it. Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. But don't make me go talk to my neighbor, Lord. You know, they got a dog. That dog messes in my yard every week, Lord. You don't want me to go talk to them. But I'll do whatever you want. See, what Jesus is calling to us about is he's calling us to a life of love. What he says to us is this, is he says, you've got to make a choice of loving.
That's what all of us are called to, is that we make a choice. How many of you have ever heard somebody say that they fell in love? You ever heard that? Well, I just fell in love. That's, let me just say, you do not fall in love. You fall in lust. Your hormones get to rushing. Come on, let's just be honest. You should have took your kids to the kids' room. I'm going to talk to you. I mean, you know, come on. Falling is an accident. You don't fall in love. Love is a choice. We make the choice of love. Okay? And so when we begin to understand that, what we find is that we are at that point that it's a daily decision in our life. In fact, I would challenge you in the morning to get up. Now, I get up early. I mean, like, early, early. Like, sometimes Jesus isn't up yet. All right? But I am not a morning person. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean, if Sherry and I get up at the same time and she starts talking, you know, for the first year, she didn't know this. And so she gets up and it's like, you know, rainbows and sunshine. I get up and it's kind of like, could you just back out of here for like, I don't know, give me an hour and then we'll talk. Now, it took a while, but we have an understanding. She doesn't talk, and it's good. She asked me one time, she said, you are so not a morning person. What do you do when you go to church to pray? Sorry, you just holler at God? And I said, maybe. That's just not who I am. But here's what I've learned. Is that every day I have to make some daily decisions about how I'm going to live. And one of those that is the overarching of everything that you and I have to do is that we have to make that daily decision that we're going to love people. And you can't love people just because you feel like it. See, that's what the cross was all about. The cross was all about Jesus Christ paying it all so that you and I would live a lifestyle of love. The Word of God says it this way. It says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you go to church every day. Not what it says, is it? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you wear a big gold chain with a cross on it. No. By this shall all men know you are my disciples if you have love one to the other. That's how we prove that we're believers. And so I have to make a choice to love. Not only do I have to make a choice to love, I have to make a commitment to love. Isn't it interesting here how Jesus is challenging the Apostle Peter in that passage? He is working on him to do some things. And one of those things that you and I have to do, just like Peter did, is that we have to eliminate some things out of our lives that keep us from loving. One of those aspects that keeps us from loving is pride. Well, they ought to love me. He didn't tell you to love them if they love you. He tells you to love them even if they spitefully use you. Maybe we're going to stay in John another 26 weeks. See, here's where we're at. Making a decision to be all in with God's direction for my life is what I have to do. I have to say, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to go all in for what you've called me to do. Because any part of me that I keep back here, you know, it's like somebody getting married but saying, but I'm going to keep a few girlfriends on the side. Nah, I'm going to be faithful to you, but why do y'all get so quiet?
But you know, just in case. Well, let me help you. Just in case will happen. As long as I have an option, I'm going to choose it. But when I make a decision that says, I am going to sell out to what Jesus Christ has called me to do, I am going to do what He wants above everything else, then it's in that moment that I begin to live this made new life that He has for me. See, I have to come to that place that I make a certainty of love. Now, I'll explain that to you. Just write it down. I'll make a certainty of love. He talks to Peter there in verse 17 and 18 about this. And he tells Peter, he says, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to feed my sheep. What he is saying to Peter is Peter, I want you to accept the willingness to carry the burden of somebody else. How many of you know it's easy to love certain people? Right? There are some people that it's easy to love. But there's some other people. Come on, anybody, any of y'all know some other people? There's some other people. Don't point at them, quit it. Don't stand up and start calling out their name or anything. But then, I saw those elbows. I see you good. Some of you campuses are doing it too, right? Here's what's got to happen. I've got to come to the place that I am not more concerned about my needs than I am about the needs of others. And that's where Peter is in this moment, because Peter keeps going back, Lord, you know I love you like a brother. Lord, you know I love you as long as you love me. Lord, you know I love you as long as you're good to me. Lord, you know I love you when you take care of me. Lord, you know. And Jesus is saying, no, Pete, up here. That's what he says to us. It's easy, people who come and take you out to eat, it's easy to love them. People who mow your yard, it's easy to love them. People who do, it's easy, but up here. That boss that you just can't stand. Uh-oh. That employee that's on your last nerve. That teacher that you wish would, anyway. Yeah, whatever it is. And so in this moment, what Jesus is doing is that he's pushing Peter to another place. And it didn't happen overnight. It took years for Peter to get there, but he finally did. And so as we celebrate Made New Sunday, and as we look at the scripture of how Jesus is calling Peter to a made new level of living, it's the same thing for us today. Because here's what I see in the Apostle Peter and in this encounter, is that the first thing that Jesus does is that he challenges Peter's mindset. Because Peter's mindset was all about this level of love. And Jesus is saying, no, Peter, you gotta take it to the next level. I wonder what would happen if as Christians we would quit screaming at people and start loving people. I wonder what would happen as Christians if we quit telling everybody all the things they're doing wrong. I know they're doing wrong. I'm not discounting their sin. Scripture doesn't discount their sin. But here's what I found out. 99% of them know their sin. Come on, Christians. What they need is somebody who will love them where they are. Why is it that we have forgotten that God loved us when we were a mess? And He cared about us when we didn't have it together.
And we're still so grateful that His mercies are new every morning, but then we want to look at somebody else and we want to come and we want to judge them. And I think in this moment what the Lord is saying to Peter is, Peter, you got to live by a different mindset. So he challenges his mindset. And secondly, he changes his perspective. So what do you mean? Well, remember, Peter is a fisherman, right? But Jesus doesn't talk to Pete about fish. He talks about sheep. He says, I've got to change your perspective and how you look at things. What is it in your world today that you need a change of perspective? There's a word called paradigm, and it means how we look at the world. So what is your paradigm shift that needs to happen today? What is it in your life today that you need to say, wait a minute, I need to develop a different mindset when I look at this. I need to have a different perspective when I see this situation or I see this person. And lastly, I believe what he's doing is that he is championing the calling that's on Peter's life. He's telling Peter, hey, feed my sheep, take care, go out there, do what I've called you to do. What I love about God is that it doesn't matter that I messed up. Anybody else glad for that one? It doesn't matter that I didn't do it all just right. Because the Word of God says that if I confess my sin, He is just and faithful to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so there are probably some of you here today, and as you listen to this, you say, well, what about me? I'm not a believer. I don't follow Christ. Well, He wants to make you new today. You're going to have an opportunity in just a minute to commit your life to Christ. Jesus has already paid the price. That's what this whole sermon series is about, paid in full. All you've got to do is acknowledge your sin to Him and ask Him to forgive you. And the Word of God says if you ask Him to forgive you, He will forgive you.